Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call on the full year's results of 2014. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star 1 at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Huizing. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to this conference call on the fourth quarter and full year 2014 results we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are Mr. Feike Sijbesma, Chief Executive Officer and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, Chief Financial Officer and Member of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Josop Heij, Senior Vice President, Corporate Control and Accounting. They will elaborate on the announcement and, after that, answer your questions. This call will last 60 minutes. As a reminder, I'm obliged to say that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to the disclaimers about forward-looking statements as published in the press release. With that, I hand over the call to Mrs. Matchett.
Thank you, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to our presentation on the DSM Q4 and full year 2014 results. Before we start the Q&A session, I'd like to walk you through some of the key slides of our investor presentation, which we published this morning with the press release, and that you can find on our dsm.com website or on our investor relations app. I will start on slide 2. Now, this slide presents the financial highlights for Q4 and for the full year. As you know, 2014 has not been an easy year for DSM. We had tough market conditions in nutrition and caprolactam, as well as some foreign exchange headwinds. However, despite this, the company generated an organic growth of 3%, including 5% for Q4. We generated a relatively solid EBITDA of 1168 and a healthy operating cash flow of 808 million euros. Also highlighted on this slide is a non-cash impairment that we booked in Q4 for the caprolactam business of 186 million. That is after-tax and non-controlling interests, resulting in a net loss for the quarter. This is the result of our usual impairment testing that we carry out and reflects current market conditions. Now, finally, on this slide, we propose a dividend for 2014 of €1.65 per ordinary share, in line with last year, but of course subject to approval at the AGM on the 30th of April. Now, these were the main financial highlights, and before I address the outlook for 2015, I would like to run you through some of the other slides in this presentation. If we move on to slide 5, and I'll give you a little moment to get there, this is a breakdown of our top line 9% growth for the quarter. As you can see, this growth was supported by strong volume progression of 7% and a favorable foreign exchange rate for the quarter, while the price mix effect remained negative, and this is particularly so for polymer intermediates. Now, if we look at the nutrition cluster, we delivered 4% organic growth. This consists of 3% volume progression and a positive 1% price mix overall improvement. However, please note here that this organic growth came from a very strong quarter from the animal health business with an organic growth of 10% and a nutrition revenue decline of 3%. So that was nutrition. Now, if we look at performance material, we closed the year with a 3% organic growth for the quarter, and that was supported by a good performance in all three businesses. Finally, for polymer intermediates, we benefited as expected from good volume growth coming from the new second line in China, offset by an 11% pricing headwind. Now, if we take all these figures for Q4, this leads us to a full year growth of 4%, of which 3% organic, and you can see that on slide 6. Now, moving to slide 7, looking at the EBITDA, we closed the quarter with 288 million, pretty much in line with market expectations. In nutrition, we took some very strong actions to reduce inventories and to improve our operating cash flow at the expense, to some extent, to the EBITDA. In addition, our nutrition margin was brought down by a mix effect, given the high growth in animal health sales that I just indicated earlier. And in food specialties, we experienced some manufacturing issues. Now, in contrast, polymer performance materials had a strong quarter, with an EBITDA up 13%, reflecting very strong results in Dyneema, as well as a positive impact from all their cost management programs that we have been running and that we have mentioned in the past. Now, for the sake of time, I will skip slides 9 to 16. Those are all tables with comments, which hopefully are clear enough underneath. And I will draw your attention to slide 17, where we talk about our pharma activities. So if you could skip through to slide 17. Now, the reason I am drawing your attention to this slide is to remind you that our accounts are now being prepared in accordance with IFRS 11, which means that the non-controlling entities are presented under the equity method and that the figures for 2013 have been restated accordingly. So now you can see here that we present our DSM Sinochem joint venture. The revenues progressed well. We reached euros nearly 400 million on a 100% basis, which is a good progression compared to the 368 million in prior year. Also here, we highlight our new DPX joint venture, effective March 11th. It had a fourth quarter, which beware the fourth quarter is from August to October. It posted strong revenues of 383 million, with an EBITDA margin before exceptionals of 21.5%, confirming that we are well on track to create significant value with this partnership. From a cash flow performance perspective, key comments are provided on slide 18. You will see here that we closed the year with a working capital as a percentage of sales of 20.7%, which represents a 300 basis points improvement over Q3 and also an improvement versus last year. This enabled the company to close the year with a positive free cash flow from operations of 279 million. Okay, these were the main financial highlights for 2014, and I would like to finish with some closing comments on our outlook for the coming year, as we have presented on slide 26 at the end of the presentation. As you know, currencies have been very volatile recently. In this presentation, we provide some indication of our exposures to the US dollar and the Swiss franc, as well as the hedges that we've put in place. However, next to these, we operate in many other currencies, and they are always important secondary effects through sales and purchasing. It's therefore very difficult to provide specific guidance. Nonetheless, we estimate that should the current exchange rate persist, the overall impact of currencies on our EBITDA for 2013 should be roughly balanced. And I caveat that statement, as you know, this is not an easy equation to put in place. Regarding vitamin E, we confirm here what we have said previously, that we should that should the current prices persist, we will see a negative impact on our EBITDA of around 80 million. And based on the above, taking into consideration the macroeconomic assumptions that we describe, DSM aims to deliver an EBITDA for 2015 slightly ahead of 2014. And with this, we'll open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting the question and answer session now. If you have a question, please press star one for questions. Please go ahead. First question, Mr. Paul Walsh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, Mr. Walsh.
Thanks very much. Morning, everybody, and thanks for taking my questions. Just two short ones, if I can. I wonder, Geraldine, if you could give some sense. Is there any banding around what a slight increase in EBITDA means for the year ahead? That would be my first question. And secondly, just in nutrition, can you talk a little bit about the dynamics between the sort of recovery in the animal business and the continued relative softness in the human nutrition segment, and you know, kind of what we're looking at if that mixed development continues for margins in nutrition in 2015, please. Thanks very much.
Sure. Good morning, Paul. slight increase, of course, you know, guidance these days, given all the volatility that we're seeing in the world, is always a bit of a tricky exercise. We feel that there is some upside, but of course, there are a lot of parameters to take into account, so I will not make it any more specific, but there is a bit of upside in our view.
Thank you.
Compared with 14.
Yeah, compared with 14.
Mm-hmm. On the nutrition business, maybe it's good to highlight a couple of things. In Q3, we mentioned also capital markets dates in Q3 that we, of course, how we are dealing with the different headwinds in nutrition. I would like to highlight a couple of things. In animal health, we have said clearly in Q3 that we will hold firmly our market share, and you know all the price competition with vitamin E, etc., and that we even will try to enlarge the share wallet from our side. If you look to Q4, I think we delivered on that promise with a 7% volume growth and even a total price, which was not bad, was a little bit up even, and total organic growth of 10% in animal health. So I think very good performance. I expect also in 2015 that animal will grow faster than human health. Animal health has a little bit lower margin than human health, so that will depress a little bit the total margin. Does not have to depress the EBITDA, but will depress the total margin, obviously, because of higher growth. Vitamin E will have an impact. At Capital Markets Day, it was 580. We mentioned there that an impact could be 60 to 80 million. It dropped to 5. It stabilized now. It increased a little bit above 5 at recent feed info. So it's not dropping further at this moment, but we said then it can have an impact of 80 million over the whole year. On the human health, indeed, the headwinds were stronger. Although we took some actions together with consortium in terms of promoting the multivitamins, I see in Q4 and the very recent data of the last week, no further decline in the multivitamin, a little bit in omega-3, but multivitamin even slight uptake, but I'm very, very careful here, not on a single data, but I think things are not turning worse there. But the growth, of course, is less than in the animal health business. But also there we take the actions which we mentioned in Q3, Q4. If you look a little bit to margins, we ended up in Q4 slightly below 18, 17 point something. If you look then to 2015, yeah, you get a full hit of vitamin E. You get a plus of the euro-dollar. You get a negative of the Swiss franc. For the total company, maybe a wash, like Geraldine was saying. Mm-hmm. For nutrition, maybe slightly negative because it's a little bit more of the Swiss franc. You have the vitamin E hit and you have the situation around the currencies. Then animal health will grow a little bit faster than human health. And in 2015, we would like to reduce operating working capital further, which gives a little bit of a hit in the fourth quarter. I think maybe around 10 million in results of nutrition. The fourth quarter was impacted down, 10 million down, due to operating working capital. You saw the good cash generation. So if I take then further improvements in consideration, but operating working capital, animal health, human health, and vitamin E, then I would say 17 to 18% margin for 2015 is the right figure if you look where we ended up in Q4.
Got it.
Sorry for giving all the different elements, but I want to give full transparency of all those elements.
No, that's very, very helpful. And in terms of the guidance for up year on year, slightly up year on year, is within that mix nutrition flat or slightly down, or indeed do you think you can offset the vitamin E issues with the growth profile in animal health and some of the other product lines?
Yeah, now we come on the detailing of the results for the full year, I want to be careful there at this moment.
Sure.
I said for the total company, we said we aim at slightly ahead 2014. And indeed, you know that the currencies for the total company has almost no effect. Vitamin E has a severe hit, which we will see already in the first quarter. Total company will do hopefully a little bit better. And I would like to leave it with that. And at Q1, we will update you on the differences between the different clusters.
That's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Next question, Mr. Andrew Stott from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, morning all. Thanks for taking the questions. Number one was raw materials and energy costs. When you obviously communicate your slight growth this year in EBITDA, what are you thinking around the tailwinds from both sides of it? I mean, for example, I noted some of your key costs in nutrition have come down a lot in Q4. So I just wondered if you had a number you would share on that. Question number two, very specific. It looks like your DNA has gone up a lot in Q4 in nutrition. Is there a one-off in there? And finally, on your FX slide, and thank you for the detail on that. It's very useful. It just simple question, really. If I look at the extent of the coverage you've got on hedging, I would have thought you end up with a positive from FX. You know, i.e., you're not that covered on the euro dollar, so you've got a big tailwind there. You're very well covered on the Swissy. So what am I missing?
And for 14 or 15? What are you, last one?
Sorry, yeah, for 15.
Okay. The oil price, if I take the different questions, the oil price is dropping in the last part of 2014. Had not much impact in 2014. And I think it will have a limited impact for the total company. The reason is the following. In nutrition, we buy a little bit oil-derived products, but we buy also agricultural products and other stuff, so there's a limited impact. In materials, it can have an impact, although we don't buy oil, but we buy derivatives of oil as chemical feedstock. But normally those prices will be translated towards the end product, both up and down as it did in the past. So here you might see here and there some time delays, but I do not expect for the whole year that in, the cost price and the selling price margin, that has a strong impact in our materials business either. In terms of energy cost and in terms of transportation cost, of course, there you will see a slight plus. And the oil price will help us there. But as we see so far, it is limited. So we will have some tailwind of the oil price if it remains at this level, but not too much, as I just explained. On the FX, Geraldine.
Yeah, I mean, on the FX, it really depends how we're going to see the exchange rates evolving. I mean, as you're right, our net exposure of on the Swiss franc is about 850 million. But the impact, depending at around which exchange rate you're calculating, is obviously a bit different in terms of proportion. So when, you know, the sensitivity that we gave of 1 cent to 5-6 equals 5-6 million. Now, if it's around parity, that impact gets higher to 7 to 8 million. So there, we really need to see where the Swiss franc is going to go, and it's a little bit everybody's guess at this point. The US dollar, we already saw broadly what happened during 2014. As you know, the first three quarters, it was a negative. Then in Q4, you saw the magnitude of the positive swing. Now, don't forget that we also operate in a lot of other currencies. So all in all, when we're saying roughly neutral, it could be that we have a slight positive. But honestly, at this point, I wouldn't put money on it. So I would leave
but
that to be, very to much
be,
open.
But the question, what was the question?
Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, just to be clear, I mean, it's a very clear statement on the slide. So at current FX, in other words, at current spot rates, so let's get away from the debate about what currencies do next. You are saying categorically roughly balanced. All I'm saying is that on your maths and your rule of thumbs, I would have thought it's positive. So is it that the real and the yen exposure is bigger than I think? That's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah, I mean, what it probably says is that the other currencies, if you put them all together, are starting to weigh a lot more. And I think one of the risks here is that a lot of the mathematics that have been done in the past have been very focused on two currencies, and now it's not appropriate to do that.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks.
Okay.
And on the DNA, the question on nutrition DNA.
Are you referring on the quarter?
Yeah, Q4. It looks like it's about 13 million higher than the run rate for the previous three quarters.
Okay. There's nothing that springs to mind. Okay. I'll have to have a look whether there's a restatement effect on 2013, but I have to say on this one I have no particular comment. But we will circle back should there be something that is worth flagging.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Andreas Heine from Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. In your outlook, you also said that you look for more efficiency measures in nutrition. Could you highlight them, and are they backed into the outlook so that you need these efficiency gains to come up with slightly higher earnings? And could you share with that what the book value is, what you have left with caprolactam? And last but not least, you highlighted already a little bit that net working capital will be also on the agenda for 2015. Would it be possible to give a range for the nutrition net working capital and group net working capital, what you are targeting for? Thanks.
Okay. Maybe on working capital and book value, I don't know whether we can mention that, but I leave that to Geraldine. On the margins and the cost savings in nutrition, let me, for all transparency reasons, maybe take you through. It's a little bit technical, but I think it's important for all of us to take us through where we are exactly in Q4. In Q4, the growth in nutrition was, in fact, pretty good, with 4%. Much more in animal health, less, of course, in human health, for the reasons I explained. The margin was below 18%. That is roughly 20 million. 10 million of that 20 million shortfall, if you call it, was coming from OWC reduction. We already talked about that during the whole year 2014, especially mid-2014, I mentioned. We need to reduce this. I'm glad to see that we made a step forward in Q4. But it went at the expense for 10 million into the margins in Q4. The other 10 million was coming from the switch animal health, human health, a little bit production problems, as a few millions in food specialties, and maybe a few millions, but very low single digit on vitamin E, because vitamin E had hardly any impact in Q4. The main issues are in Q 2015. So that caused the situation in Q4. Then once again, for 15, we got a big hit on vitamin E. You all know that. Operating working capital might influence further down the EBITDA, as I mentioned, and the switch between animal health and human health, and a little bit currencies, because Swiss franc is bigger for DMP than the dollar. Nevertheless, together with the improvements, I expect 17-18%. That does not take away that our ambition on the longer run remains to get the margin higher. That does not take away that. And here comes the further improvements in the picture, because we want to have even tighter cost management than we already do. Of course, we will look to all measures to compensate in the whole Swiss situation. Those things are not easy. You don't pick up manufacturing facilities and relocate them, but we look to all possible means. Secondly, we look to all possible cost reductions in nutrition. In 2015. It's too early to give any figures or data or numbers of people or whatever, but of course we will look to that. On top of that, we said we look to cost reductions of all functions across the company. And we will here and there have some changes. From January 1st onwards, to give you just one example, we centralized all the HR functions. All HR people globally report into our top HR guy, in order to streamline over regions, businesses, corporate, all the HR costs. Now, we are looking to other functions as well. So to give you some flavor of what we're doing. For the rest, you need to do it with the outlook at this moment, which we gave. I hope that gives a little bit of flavor of what we are doing, and I can only add to that that all these improvement programs do not only involve cost, but also other opportunities in growth and margin improvement. You've seen that we hold very firmly our market share in vitamin E in the fourth quarter, and that went not unnoticed in the market. I mentioned during the capital markets days, some people will see that vitamin E for them is not easy, and I think some people have seen that in China. We remain very competitive in Switzerland, even with the today's strengthening of the Swiss franc. We have a competitive position. We want to improve it further, but we have it. And all of these actions on cost, etc., I tell you, it consumes the whole day of Geraldine and myself. We are focusing fully on this one. Long answer, but hopefully you get some flavor on what we're doing.
Thanks.
Okay, your question on working capital, you were saying, can I give some quantification? Well, we closed, as you know, the year with about, well, just short of 2 billion in operating working capital. From a percentage of revenues, it was a good position at 20.7%. All I can say is that overall, we would like that ratio to come down, and the one area where we have the most potential is nutrition, simply because of its current relatively high position. But we're not breaking down exactly where it will come. So overall, an improvement, knowing that nutrition is the area where there's the most potential.
Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Next question, Mr. Oliver Rai from Deutsche Bank. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Just one question for me on associates and whether you can give any guidance on where that's likely to land for the full year 15. Thanks.
So in associates, we're seeing a good progression. As we mentioned already, the Capital Markets Day in London, DPX is doing very well, and we're showing here the figures for their fourth quarter. So obviously, there's a bit of a time delay. There's no reason why this is not going to continue. In fact, we're seeing a very healthy pace, both in terms of growing the top line, but also improving the margin. So here, definitely upsides in terms of our other associate. The other big one that we flag here is DSP. The revenues are also progressing well, and here, in terms of profitability, we should also see an improvement in 2015. So it's all heading in the right direction.
And I'm glad, by the way, you asked, because it's, of course, not so visible in our EBITDA. But in total, both enterprises are not a small stake our company has, also in terms of value. And like Geraldine is saying, it's moving in both areas pretty up north. So, good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Next question, Mr. Neil Tyler from Redburn. Go ahead, sir.
Morning, everybody. Couple of questions left, please. Firstly, back to the nutrition business and the vitamin pricing in animal that you achieved. You mentioned, Fika, that the impact of on EBITDA of vitamin E was minimal. Was that the same case on revenues? And do you anticipate offsetting effects in pricing terms for 2015 against that vitamin E headwind? Second question, Geraldine, you've been through the budgeting process now. Can you perhaps, I know you're not going to talk about numbers with regard to new efficiency measures, but can you tell us whether within the budgets you have assumed that any additional efficiencies are achieved before the end of 2015? And the third question, on the caprolactam write-down, can you just explain to me the process that you went through to come to the decision to write down that asset, given that, you know, trading has been pretty similar for quite some extended period of time. Thank you.
Okay, on the vitamin E price dropped during the year 2014, 2014, already also at the later end of 2013, if you remember. It dropped further, the vitamin E prices, in the fourth quarter, as we mentioned in Q3 and the capital markets days, but we have also a delay in how that works into our pricings, as we told you. So the additional drop in prices of vitamin E in Q4, did not have any, very little impact, that additional drop into our Q4 figures. But it will have, or has already, an impact on our 2015 results, because some of our prices are linked, of course, to those global market prices, and they go in contracts with a delay. But in the beginning of 2015, so from January 1st, they are locked into the system. So we see, of course, compared with Q4, a price drop in vitamin E in our results from January 1st. And that's, I don't want to be cynical, but that's in the pockets to say that. That's for sure. Now, if the prices remain on this between 5 and 550 or whatever area, then it has a hit around 80 million for the whole year. Now, if mid-year or whatever the prices will recover, then with a delay again, it has a positive effect in Q4 or whatever. But that's speculation. We don't speculate on this. I, for the time being, assume that the prices will remain for the full year at this level. That's the only thing I can say. And then it has this hit. Whether it will indeed remain on that level, I don't know. As I mentioned in Q3, some of the Chinese manufacturers will not have an easy time at this price level, and I hear that in the market being confirmed. What they will do with that, we will see. We, as indicated, will not give in, and you saw that in our volume growth in Q4. Geraldine?
Yeah. Now, relating to the budgeting process, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to disclose any numbers, but it is a very relevant question whether we've included improvement programs in there, and the answer is yes, of course. We need these to be to gain traction rapidly. It's one of our key focus is improving our operational performance, and we can't do that just FICA and myself sitting here. It's the whole organization that delivers that kind of thing. So it is included. Of course, there's a timing issue, how quickly. So the effects come later in the year, but it is in. And your second question on the caprolactam impairment, as you know, this is very much an accounting exercise. It should not really come as a surprise to anyone that at some point this was going to happen, given the deterioration in the margins out there. It is really just reflecting the outlook on the markets and the margins. Now, from an accounting point of view, you are not allowed to take into account any mitigating actions that you want to take to make your business more profitable. So that's also something to flag, is that it's at the 31st of December, you can only take market assumptions and not anticipate steps that you're going to do to fix that. So that's why it came in Q4 this year.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question, Mr. Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everyone. A couple of questions. To start with nutrition, Feedinfo is talking about structural changes in the vitamin E market, and you indicate that your margin will go lower. Obviously, nutrition as a whole reported an 8% EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter. So that will go lower probably in 2015. Just wondering how you will get back to the 20-23% EBITDA margin. Second question is on the Capro impairment. Can you confirm it relates only to your Chinese plants, as you mentioned the non-controlling interest side of things? Third question, also a nitty-gritty question, but there's no explanation. The exceptional items from associates, that was a 55 million loss for a deal that was closed a long time ago. So could you explain what's going on? And then the final, that's D&A. I always see that D&A is so much higher in the fourth quarter than it is in the first three quarters. So just wondering why that is, and then secondly, what your guidance for the whole company is for D&A in 15. Thank you.
Okay. Geraldine will take the last three, with all pleasure, and I take the first one. You say, and that's be clear, and I will provide as much clarity as I can. You say Feed Info is talking about structural changes in vitamin E. Yeah. Feed Info and myself was already talking about structural changes in vitamin E due to the additional competition, which we elaborated clearly about that in Q3 and in the capital markets day. So yes, there is more competition in vitamin E, and yes, that decreased the prices in end of Q3, Q4, had hardly any impact. That additional price decline, the earlier price decline, beginning of 14, had effect, but the additional decline, no effect on Q4 results, but will have substantially in 2015. That is a structural change. That is already there, nothing new today. What might be new in the year if some Chinese manufacturers cannot hold it at this level. That's speculation, that I don't do. We will see what happens. You know clearly our strategy, and so far in Q4 we totally delivered on that approach. Margin, you're right, we ended up between 17 and 18 in Q4. You're right, that might further be under pressure in 2015 if we get the full hit of vitamin E and with further OWC reductions, etc. Still, I guide you at the 17-18 for 2015, indicating that we take some compensating measures as well. I think we should be in that area in 2015. On top of that, I do not lift my ambition level that we want to increase it further. And I mentioned the further measures we can take during 2015 and over the year. I will update you on that, where we are. And with those actions, I think you should have a clear picture of what we're doing in nutrition. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Faik, it's, if you look at vitamin E, I think that it was mainly you and BASF and two smaller Chinese players, and now you have much more competition from China. And if you look at the profitability, the EBITDA contribution of vitamin E, that was so large in the last couple of years. And I'm not saying that vitamin E prices can't go a little bit higher, just wondering if that not has structurally changed. And since it was such a big part of nutrition EBITDA, I wonder how you will get back to the 23%.
Well, listen. I cannot change history. I have a lot in my power, but I cannot change history. I mean, it is a fact that there are more Chinese producers. It is BASF ourselves. It is two bigger Chinese producers and two smaller Chinese producers. That is the situation. We updated the whole market on that in Q3 and at Capital Markets Day. It is what it is. I agree with you. It's a change compared with the past, and that happened from end 2013, 2014, and we update the market on that situation. I agree, in the past, vitamin E had a much bigger contribution in our total profit. Totally agree. But it happened what happened, and we will deal with that. And of course, it will depress our margins, and indeed, we are below this 18% at this moment, and maybe also in 2015, as I just said to you. However, we will take some additional measures, and we have also some good growth pockets. Look to also our volume growth, which is helping also on cost coverage and diluting our cost with 7% volume growth in Q4. I would not call that bad. The best I can do is guide you at that just below 18 for 2015 and say it does not reduce my appetite and ambition level. And that's the situation. And in that sense, I think for the market, hopefully, nothing new compared with what I told in Q3 and at Capital Markets Day.
Okay. Relating to the caprolactam impairment, I need to correct myself if I was misleading. That's not at all what I meant. What I meant is that the impairment is on the whole caprolactam business, but the amount of 186 million is the amount after tax and deduction of minority interest. So it is the impact on our net profit and therefore on the EPS. Of course, it's a non-cash item. But it is really, the impairment test is run on the total business. So it is not ring-fenced to China or the minority stakes. That's not what I meant. Now, in terms of the associates, the exceptional negatives are actually linked to DPX. Now, as you know, the transaction took place this year. It was created in the early part of the year. Those will go in 2014, yes, and therefore these will go away. So that's not a concern. And in terms of depreciation and amortization, we're looking at broadly in line with the full year 2014 number. So we're looking at about 550 million.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Next question, Mr. James Knight from Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Morning. I'd like to break trend and ask a question, at least one question on materials. Could you give us some indication of how it's started in 2015, whether you've seen any hesitancy on the buyer's side as they wait for prices to come down, raw materials? Secondly, on DPX, is it fair to say there the performance improvement has been faster than you expected under this aggressive management team? Is it possible that that might bring forward the next step that you had in mind to realize value from this asset? And then thirdly, I think Andreas asked what the book value was of Capro is today. I'm not sure if it was answered, or I certainly didn't hear it. So could you just please help me on that one? Thank you.
Okay. I will take the first two, and I don't know what Geraldine can say about the third one. 2015 start, it's too early. I don't have the official figures of January even. Obviously, Geraldine and myself are monitoring the sales almost on a weekly basis. And I think 2015 started in line with the guidance we give here. So in that sense, there's not any worry or additional upside. It starts in line with what we guide at this moment. And but it is too early because, once again, I don't have the official January figures even at this moment in time. DPX, I cannot say that the success went slower than expected, so I agree with you. That's a Dutch understatement. I think the combination turned out to be very successful in cost reductions, but to be honest, if you look to the profit increase, it comes also from the market. We are a very big player in the market, and here you see that the combination we made makes absolute sense. JLL, the private equity part on the other side, who is in there, most likely want to make their money, most likely in there for making the money, and we have that same upside, 49-51% share distribution. And obviously, if we see chances to monetize or to monetize earlier, we will do that, and most likely we will look to a maximization of the monetization, and whether that can be done earlier or later, we need to see. But I totally agree. So far, it looks very good and very promising.
And on the Capro, we do not disclose the asset base of the different cash-generating units, so that's probably why you didn't hear the answer.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Martin Rödiger from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Thanks for taking my three questions. First, on your outlook, which is based on the current portfolio, as you intend to dispose the three activities, caprolactam, acrylonitrile, and composite resins, on a pro forma basis, so excluding these three activities, would you also consider your target of a slight EBITDA increase to be valid for 2015? Second is on food specialties. You mentioned the impact was a few million euros on EBITDA. What went wrong in the manufacturing here? Can that reoccur in Q1 or in any other quarter? And the third question is on your pension plans. You certainly contribute cash to your pension plans every year. How is this fresh money right now invested, so this year, for example, and are there any bonds running out, being matured, and then the cash has to be reinvested?
Okay, I'm not sure I know all the answers. The outlook, yeah, you want now a split between the different businesses, it's hard to give. I don't want to give you an outlook split about the business we want to put in a different context, strategic action, divestment or whatever, that will also not help the process there if I give more specific data on that. So I hope you understand that. On food specialties, it has to do with certain of our operations which had some performance issues in food specialties. So you know we are in cultures and enzymes and some of the other products. Some of the operations had some issues in production in the fourth quarter. Can that recur in 2015? Yes, it could be, but I will be disappointed. The task of force for the management of food specialties is that it will not return this year. And that is what we expect and work on. On the pension plan, you have to help
okay.
me, Geraldine.
I'm not sure I entirely understood your question, but we have a number of different pension plans, including defined contribution, but also some defined benefits. Now, in terms of where the money goes in terms of asset category, as you know, there's a lot of legislation around that in each of the countries. Now, the mix is not significantly different than it's been in the past, and you can see that in the annual report note on the pensions. So we generally have a mix of about 55% fixed income, 34-35% equities, and the rest being either property or cash or other assets. So in many ways, this will not change. It's highly regulated, so but I'm not sure that was what you were trying to get to with your question.
My focus is more on, for example, currently you see yields of bonds are at a very, very low level, partly loss-making. So so in the if you continue to invest, for example, in bonds with that cash, then of course you make losses on your pension plans. This is basically the background of my question.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This will be a challenge for all pension funds in the world. With negative interest rates, it raises a lot of questions. Luckily for us, in many ways, in terms of the mix of defined contribution versus defined benefits, a lot of the group has shifted to defined contribution schemes, which it makes it less risky for us as a corporate. Yeah. But your point is absolutely valid and is actually a major concern, but from a much broader perspective across the country.
But in first instance, this is a pension fund topic because the biggest pension fund we talk about is the Dutch pension fund, and there we have a defined contribution system. So, and that pension fund is running its own shop, so to say, and so to say independent from the company. So this is basically more a question towards the management of the pension fund than to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Rakesh Patel from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Good morning. Just a couple of questions left from me. I wondered if you could perhaps just touch back on working capital. I think in the past you've said you wanted to try and get nutrition working capital to around 30%. Of sales. I was just wondering if you now still see that as the target or actually that could potentially move lower given your comments. Secondly, just on vitamin E prices, you talked about the Chinese market seemingly ripe for change, if you like. Have you actually seen any Chinese players looking to exit the market, or have you heard chatter that they would sort of you know, seeing them move away? And then finally, U.S. dietary supplements. I'm just trying to understand what the moving parts here. I mean, we've seen, you know, some of the data that comes out from Nielsen, and you see something of a little bit of an uptick both in Q4 and January. So I was just wondering why you don't see that, or rather, are we actually looking at something quite different? Thanks very much.
Thank you. Geraldine can maybe say something on OWC. I will take the other two. Vitamin E, we have seen, like Mudlu was asking also, the change of market dynamic in 2014 with the four Chinese players, two big ones, two small ones, and BASF and ourselves. And that changed the market dynamics. At these low prices, I expect that some of the Chinese producers do not like that at all. and lost their competitiveness. And we, even with the strengthening of the Swiss franc, are still pretty competitive and still make a good margin on vitamin E. Less than before, 2015, clearly less than before, but still it's a good profitable product for us. I don't see any changes yet that Chinese step out or do something else, so I don't see that. I know that for some of it, of course, it's tight with these prices in 2015. What will happen, I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate on that. We will see that in 2015. Dietary supplements, fair point. I see the same at the data end of 2014 now, the new data coming in beginning of 2015, that I don't see any further decline at this moment. You're right. No, Feike, you see even a small uptake. Yes, you're right. I formulated it as no decline, but I should mention that I see a small uptake. I see the same. I'm very, very careful about those single point data, so I don't want to guide you that, hey, guys, I see an uptake, etc. I'm careful on those data. Single point. And therefore formulated a little bit in a in an understatement maybe, hey guys, I don't see a decline here. That is for multivitamin. For omega-3, I didn't see the uptake. It's even a little bit lower, so it's a mixed bag over there. But I agree with you, the signs there on the multivitamin are at this moment not negative, but I'm extremely careful there. If you allow me.
Okay, and on the working capital, thank you for coming back on that. So as I said, overall, we closed the year at 20.7% of revenue, and that's the area for improvement would be nutrition. Now, within that 20.7, nutrition closed the year more around 34%. So there is a journey to make to get to 30%, but in the midterm, I believe it should be doable, but it will not be entirely in 2015. It's going to take a bit longer than that.
Okay, taking time into consideration, we have still time for one last question.
Next question, Mr. Rakesh Patel from Goldman Sachs. He was next. The next in line is Jaideep Pandya from Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. I just come back. I just want to understand your strategy in vitamin E. So as of Q4, was vitamin E profitability in qualitative terms at divisional margin levels, or was it not? And do you have enough operating leverage that you're pursuing this volume strategy? So, i.e., you're saying that you are still very competitive, and if prices sort of stay around the 5-5.5 mark, then your operating leverage sort of offsets the pricing headwind, and you know, you remain competitive versus your Chinese competitors. Am I thinking this correct, or am I missing something here? Thank you.
Let me be clear. I'm not going to give you the operating margin of vitamin E. By the way, the market will be very interested in to see what is the margins with us at this price level, and we're not going to say that. Although we do say at this level, around 5 or 550, we have a profitable product on our side. And I'm not going to give the margins. I agree, it is a much less profitable product than before. If I take 2015, in total, we will make 80 million less profit, so that is substantial. But even after that, it will be profitable. Can we compensate part of that in cost cutting and all that stuff I mentioned already? We will work on that in the course of this year, and we already started on that. And I'm not going to indicate where and what exactly and what does that mean for the margin of vitamin E. Our strategy is very clear that we do not give in any market share in favor of market prices or whatever. We are a strong player on this market. We are fully integrated. Also to watch our premix operations, which are doing very well, also in Q4. And we continue with that strategy. And that is our strategy. And then we will see how the market, customers and competitors will react on that.
Maybe just one short follow-up. Are you currently at very high utilization in vitamin E? Or, I mean, do you have enough spare capacity, you know, if volumes sort of grow similar to what you've seen in Q4?
Normally, I would answer that question, but it's, in terms of the market dynamics, it's a very relevant question. And I would give you a little bit of a fake answer here for pretty obvious reasons. But we have all means to meet the growth of the market.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that concludes today's call. Thank you very much for listening in. Any further questions, you can contact my department, so you can contact the Investor Relations department. Okay, thank you very much.